Amen.
This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Bill Watson.
Again, welcome to another international telecast of the Armor of God. Good to be with all of you once again. You know, since 2001, September 11th, that date that has gone down in infamy, with 19 fanatical Muslim jihadists took control of roughly four airplanes, commercial airplanes, rammed two of them into the World Trade Center down in downtown New York City. A third one went into the Pentagon over in Washington, D.C., and a fourth one was wrestled away by the heroic actions of a handful of passengers that slammed that plane down into the ground in western Pennsylvania near Pittsburgh. Many of my friends have been mentioning to me, you know, Bill, the world is no longer the same. It's different. Things have changed. And I suppose it's understandable, especially in light of the fact that how the world has been engulfed by this shadow of terrorism. Many of us, if you're like me, feel a sense of apprehension, perhaps, a sense of anxiety, and what you could say, well, just nervousness about the general environment that we're living in today. Why? Well, simply because many of us feel that our lifestyle, our culture, perhaps even our own personal safety is at risk and is in jeopardy. And rightly so, because so often we're reminded on a daily basis, it seems, by the headlines in our newspapers that terrorism is still alive and essentially terrorizing people all around the world. Our newspapers are filled with the continuing terrorist acts that are being conducted over there in Iraq by homicidal bombers and face-to-face combat situations. We've read stories about the bombings that have gone on in Madrid, also over there now in London, and continuing threats that are going on throughout the countries of Europe, warning them of homegrown now terrorist cells that are risking the very safety and the stability of those cultures. In addition, if that weren't enough, we have in Southeast Asia, right there on the island of the Philippines, terrorist increases and alerts that are going on in some of their cities, as well as the cities of Australia, of America, and even Canada, which are on heightened terrorist alert conditions, focusing their attention on enhancing the security of mass transit systems, such as buses and perhaps trains, power plants, water plants, even for that matter, manufacturing plants within the cities, all warning their citizens, workers, and employees to be a bit more vigilant if you see something a little out of the ordinary to tell some official about whatever you may be somewhat concerned over. And if that weren't enough, North Korea, some claiming to be the monster of Southeast Asia, continues to rattle its sabers about its nuclear plans, along with China, who is now emerging from centuries of slumber, aspiring to compete as a consumer bloc and military force on the world scene. India, Pakistan, Brazil, all nuclear armed, and Tehran, if that wasn't enough, the capital of Iran, continuing to add to the fray, threatening nuclear development and weapon-grade uranium processing. And of course, the Middle East continues to simmer in violence, surrounded by an immense amount of civil and military unrest. And of course, Israel remains the epicenter for justifying so much of what this senseless killing seems to be. My friends, you wonder, you know, where is all of this leading us? Some of us, perhaps, we look out around the world and around the globe and we wonder about all these random, what appear to be random events, senseless events, things that seem to be just so helter-skelter, and we say to ourselves, could this have any meaning? Where is it leading us? Is it taking us somewhere? Well, believe it or not, your Bible, this Judeo-Christian document, has a lot to say about events in the end times that actually are indeed portrayed as what is being said to us in our newspapers today. Oh yes, my friends, believe it or not, your Bible talked about how the Arab people would be a wild people against all people and all people against them. Your Bible says that. Your Bible talks about an end time Jewish-Israeli state that would vex the United States of America along with the cultures of the Brits. Imagine that. Your Bible, and I don't see why that should surprise you, since the Bible talks so much about smaller nations like Egypt and Libya and Ethiopia. Why wouldn't it, if it is indeed a timeless book, which it is, talk about the superpowers of the 21st century like Russia, the United States, Great Britain, and perhaps even China? And it does, my friends, you see. It talks a lot about end time events. We're going to talk a little bit about that today. I want to share with you some of those end time signs. But before I do, as it is our custom here on the Armor of God, I would like to share with you our free offer. Today we have two items that I want to share with you. One is a dual tape set, part one and two, titled The Middle East in Prophecy. That's right, along with an article titled Are There Troubles Ahead? For the European Union. Both of these offers are provided to you free of charge because of the support of the main body of this telecast, the Armor of God called the Church of God International, along with some of you, our co-worker viewers, who have seen fit to go ahead and provide us the funds that we might offer this material as a free educational service to the public. For that, we are grateful. All you have to do in order to obtain these two offers is dial 888-578-8791, and we'll get both of these offers out to you as soon as we can. And don't forget about our website, too, at www.cgi.org. There's a lot additional material there for your perusal and consideration. And by the way, you can even watch a few of the previous shows of the Armor of God if indeed you'd like to view some of those at a more convenient time. So dial right now, 888-578-8791. Let the operator know which format, too, you prefer that audio offer on, be it CD or cassette, and hit us on our website at www.cgi.org. Now, back to this program about end time signs. Because end time signs, my friends, are, as we've been talking about, all around us. The world is, as we've been talking, engulfed in worldwide terrorism. As a matter of fact, the Worldwide Incident Tracking System, the WITS, which is a watchdog group tracking the amounts of terrorist attacks around the world, have logged in for the year 2004 over 3,000 terrorist attacks over 71 different countries. Can you imagine that? And you know who's number two on the list of all things? Russia is the second most hottest spot for terrorist attacks for the year 2004 on the globe. And we can see lines are being drawn in the sand, don't we? Allies are becoming fairly, what you could say, obvious. I mean, in the sense of the United States, allied with Great Britain, committed to the protection of a Jewish-Israeli state, even to their own detriment. While in addition, you have the Europeans, China, along with Russia and some Arab states, though denouncing terrorism, nevertheless, at best, lukewarm toward American policy and British policy in handling terrorism and, of course, their foreign policy in dealing with the world. The UN continues to be the paper tiger that it is and continues to work as a forum for those nations who believe they can negotiate peace settlements with fanatical Muslim jihadists who have nothing on their mind but destruction. How they continue to think that they can rationalize peace accords with these people is beyond me, because it seems by far that that's not really in their agenda. But nevertheless, as we go forward, I think it's fair to say that you're going to see a lot of rearranging, a lot of realignment in the geopolitical community of nations as we go forward, because your Bible is quite explicit on some of these end time events, these end time signs that are going to cause particular conditions to occur that you and I very well may be affected here in the future as we go forward. Now, as I mentioned, I wanted to share some of these events with you, and I wanted to turn immediately to Matthew chapter 24. Here, Jesus Christ, in his own words, mentions some of these end time events that I would like to share with you and get specific on. Now, I'll probably be mentioning a few additional things that I'm not going to emphasize in passing. But I do want to emphasize a few here, and I hope I have, with the time I have left, to be able to hit all of them that I'd like to be able to address on this particular program. But in Matthew 24, let me bring your attention to this dialogue that Jesus shared with his disciples, the apostles-to-be, on this afternoon in Jerusalem on the Mount of Olives. He had been in the temple, and he went ahead and then proceeded to go to the Mount of Olives. Here in verse 1, we pick up the story. Jesus went out, departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. It was quite impressive. The temple was an awesome, incredible edifice for its time there in Jerusalem. And Jesus said unto them, he told them a very startling statement, and they were kind of taken back at it because of the magnitude and the size and the scope of this temple. They couldn't believe what they were about to hear from Jesus when he said here, and look at this in verse 2, Matthew 24, "See you not all these things? Truly I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." Well, this, as I say, startled these guys. And immediately they responded as they sat upon the Mount of Olives. In verse 3 it states, "And the disciples, they came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, what shall these things be? What shall be the sign of your coming and the end of the world?" And that Greek word means more specifically the end of the age, the social structure, the time and place and condition that mankind has made to this point and their cultures. What is essentially going to be the sign of the downfall of man's cultural system? Well, Jesus proceeds here, and he begins to lay out some scenarios and events in Matthew 24, and of which, by the way, are laid out there in Luke 21 and Mark 13 as well. These are parallel scriptures of Matthew 24 that you yourself can read at your own leisure. We'll be going back and forth between Luke 21 and Mark 13 along with here Matthew 24. But suffice to say, back to Matthew 24, in verse 4 we pick up the story. Jesus says, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many. You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilence, earthquakes in different places. All these are the beginning of sorrows." So says Jesus. And I know many of you will say, "Well, Bill, we've always had these things. Down through man's history, there have been many times over where people have felt that the world was going to end due to this, that, or the other thing. And so what makes what we have today any different than those days that previously were accused of being the end times?" Well, follow me through some of this, because as I hope to illustrate to you, you're going to begin to see some things that are already beginning to manifest themselves in one degree or another as we begin to understand the exact description of these end time signs that I want to share with you. I want to advance over here to Luke 21 for a moment, because as Jesus mentions, and as I've already alluded to the fact that Luke 21 is a parallel description of the same events that Luke recorded from his perspective as opposed to Matthew, we pick up the same story here in Luke 21 verse 10, where Luke says unto them, nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in different places, and famines and pestilence and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. But look at this, notice this now, verse 12. But before all these things, and then what happens here, my friends, is you run down here the next following scriptures, about seven of them, from verses 12 through 19 in Luke 21. I'm not going to read them all. You can read them at your own convenience for the sake of time. I just don't have the time to cover them, but it's obvious of what they describe. What they describe is increased Christian persecution. That's right. What Jesus says is that before the acceleration of a lot of the things that he listed in terms of the rumors of wars and so on, you will see increased Christian persecution. Notice back here on Matthew, or in Matthew 24, we pick up the same story, and Jesus, and I had dropped off on verse 8, but I want to pick up here in verse 9 of Matthew 24 just to illustrate the corroboration of what Matthew does here with Luke. Verse 9, he says, Jesus, that is, he recorded Jesus as saying, "Then shall they," in verse 9, Matthew 24, "deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for Jesus Christ's name's sake." That's what that means. "For my name's sake" is what Jesus is saying. In other words, Christians will be persecuted for the name of Jesus Christ. So that's my point one here. There will be increased Christian persecution. Now, I want to continue on here in Matthew chapter 24 and continue to draw your attention to this list of things that Jesus is indeed listing here for his disciples on the Mount of Olives that afternoon. He goes down here through verses 10 and so on and 14, describing again and reiterating false prophets, and that those who will endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. The gospel he mentions in verse 14 should be preached or will be preached throughout the world for a witness unto all nations, he says. And then, after that's done, the end shall come. Now, look at this in verse 15. Here's another point that I would like to mention to you and share with you in regards to these end time signs. Notice here, "When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whosoever reads, let him understand." Then, so when you see this abomination of desolation standing in the holy place, and if you're reading this, understand, it's in parentheses there, Matthew's writing this, he says, "Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains." So if you're in that part of the earth, of the world, when this occurs and this abomination of desolation happens, you should flee from that area and get out of there as soon as you can. Verse 17, we continue, "Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house." In other words, get urgent on yourself and hightail it out of there, because what's coming is not going to be pretty, and you don't want to be anywhere near there. He goes on here, and he says, "Neither let them which are in the field return back to take his clothes." Those who are pregnant, of course, are going to have some tough times. If it's in the winter or on the Sabbath, he says, it may be difficult. Verse 21, he goes on here, "For then," look at this, this is why now, my friends, listen to this. Verse 21, Matthew 24, "For then shall be great tribulation such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." Now, furthermore, look at this, verse 22, "And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved," or left alive, basically, is what he's talking about. "But for the elect's sake, for those Christians, converted, repentant, and baptized people, for their sakes," he says here, "those days will be shortened." Now, I know many of you may say, well, you know, a lot of these prophecies in Matthew 24 were already fulfilled previous to Titus rolling in there in about 68-69 AD. You had Antiochus Epiphanes, who set up an abomination of desolation in the temple there, that through the intertestamental period of the Maccabean revolutions and so forth, and the fights that occurred of all of that were kind of precursors to many of what Jesus here is describing and what Matthew and Luke and Mark wrote down for our identification and, of course, our relation to what that could be and the patterns of history of what they are telling us were in the past. Titus, of course, in 70 AD rolled in there, tore and razed the temple at that time, and, of course, pushed the Jews back to Masada. Many of you are well aware of that, and ultimately from that point on, after his soldiers were essentially what you could say offering swine's flesh to their banners on the east wall of the temple after they raised it, an abomination of desolation is described in that regard. That occurred, by the way, roughly around 30 or so years after Jesus ascended back to the Father. So these words, I'm sure, were resonating in the minds and hearts of a lot of the Christians at that time who were still alive and were alive during the time of Christ's life and who were now alive reading some of the words that were written by Matthew, Luke, and of course Mark, which now by this time were written, by the way, in this time of 70 AD or so. So this information, I'm sure, resonated in their hearts about the fact that maybe this is it. And frankly, there were reason, good reason, for a lot of the Christians during that time to think that they were living in the last days. But guess what? We survived that, didn't we? We're down now 1,800 and some 70 years in history here, or 2,000, I guess you could say, years of history. And guess what? The world is still percolating along. What I'm saying is, yes, perhaps you could apply some of those prophecies to this particular situation. However, the fact remains, Jesus continues on, and as we read that this time, the time that when these prophecies really become fulfilled, will be a time never like was before. And consequently, will be a time that unless Jesus Christ himself would indeed intervene, no flesh should be saved alive. So the second point I want to point out here is Jerusalem will be surrounded by armies in the end. And consequently, with increased persecution, Jerusalem will be indeed surrounded by armies and consequently experience what is considered to be an abomination of desolation. Now, if that weren't enough, in addition, the Middle East, that is Jerusalem specifically, is going to be invaded and occupied. I want to point something out over here in Daniel chapter 11, the longest prophecy in your Bible, listed here for us to understand. It's quite a read, and I'm not going to have time, obviously, to read all of it, but I do want to bring your attention to verse 40 of Daniel chapter 11, where we read that this king of the north, which patterns in history show was Rome, comes into, because it is the last days, notice verse 40, at the time of the end. A king of the south shall push at him the king of the north. And in this particular case, he shall come against him like a whirlwind. That is, this king of the north will come in the latter days against the king of the south who pushes at him with horsemen and chariots and ships and shall enter into the countries and overflow and pass over. And he shall enter in also into the glorious land and many countries shall be overthrown. It mentions a few here that are going to escape. But in verse 42, we read, he shall stretch forth his hand even on the countries of Egypt. And furthermore, in verse 43, Libya, Ethiopia. And what you see is a king of the north, and as I portrayed already in history, the pattern is set that it was a Roman Empire, the king of the north. The south was Egypt in history, and consequently an Arab-related, what you could say, country in this regard. King of the south, always in history, that pattern was pretty well set. However, in this particular case, in the end times, we're told another king of the north is going to invade the Holy Land, wrap around, take over Egypt, Ethiopia, and Libya, and invade, what you could say, and occupy that Holy Land. So my friends, what I want to portray here to you and to let you know is that this particular power is indeed going to invade the Holy Land, surround Jerusalem, as we've already read here. Which means, of course, that the third point that I want to mention to you is very simple. The king of the north will occupy Israel. Now, with that said, my friends, it presupposes the fact that with Jerusalem surrounded by armies, the king of the north invading the Holy Lands, I think we're all agreed that by today's standards, the United States of America and Great Britain would never allow the occupation of Israel by a foreign power. So what I'm saying here is it presupposes the fact that at best the United States and Great Britain's influence will be reduced and diminished, if not non-existent, to protect the Middle East and the Jewish-Israeli state of Jerusalem. So the fourth point I want to bring out here is that the United States of America and British power will be diminished and or non-existent. Now over here, back to Luke 21, over here in Luke 21, I want to point something else out because, again, these are all indications of a time that is going to be different than the times that many have accused before to be the end times. Here in Luke chapter 21, and in verse 25, we read here, after Jerusalem shall be trodden down by the Gentiles. It says here in verse 24, let me break up into that context. They shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations. Jerusalem shall be trodden down by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And then there shall be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves rearing, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. The fifth point that I want to mention to you is that there will be signs in the sky. That's right, signs in the sky. My friends, it's important that we get in tune with what we are involved with and the environment that we are finding ourselves faced with. Continue to read here in Luke, and you will see what Jesus says, and I want to leave you with these words before I close the program out. It says, pray, or watch you therefore, in verse 36, and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. My friends, you need to put on that armor of God so that you can stand in this evil day, because where we're going, it's not going to get any better very soon.
Since September 11, 2001, the world we live in has changed. Rumors of war and the rhetoric of nation rising against nation is growing with intensity. Nuclear weapons in the hands of certain nations or terrorist groups pose a jeopardy never before confronted, and if used, could disrupt the global balance of economics as well as geopolitical alliances. Jesus Christ cautioned us to take heed and to watch and pray when we begin to see Christian persecution. Jerusalem surrounded by armies. The King of the North occupying Israel. The United States and Britain diminished in power and influence. And signs in the sky. Let us help you to understand these prophesied end-time signs. Call right now, 888-578-8791, and ask for the free article, Are There Troubles Ahead for the European Union?, and the two-part tape, or CD, entitled The Middle East in Prophecy. Both are free for the asking. And for the meantime, take ye heed, watch, and pray, for you know not when the time is.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by The Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at Post Office Box 2525, Tyler, Texas 75710. Call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791 or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at cgi.org or email us at armorofgod@cgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support. This program